Welcome, everyone, to Cinema Cemetery. I am your host, DJ Spectre, coming to you undead only on Penguin Radio. Tonight's feature, I want to do something a little festive, a little fun, but still in kind of the Cinema Cemetery wheelhouse. So tonight's movie is a Christmas feature, which has a lot of hijinks, a lot of craziness. But before we get into any of that, allow me to introduce tonight's guest, who I am summoning from the void. Welcome back, Denali.
Howdy.
How you doing?
Sleepy, but very much ready to dig into this movie.
That's a good vibe to have. Because there's a big difference between being sleepy and being tired.
Oh, yeah.
If you're tired, you're just not into it. But if you're sleepy, you're like, eh.
You're like, all right, I can do stuff. This is fine.
Yeah, I can exist to a point.
Yeah.
So for tonight, we watched Gremlins, the first one. Because like I said, I want to do something like kind of holiday themed. And I couldn't really think of any, like, I was trying to think of like a kind of cult-ish holiday movie. I was thinking Krampus for a little bit, but I just kind of wanted to talk about Gremlins, man.
Sometimes you just gotta talk about Gremlins.
Yeah, it's a very nice vibe. So how did you first find Gremlins, Denali?
Well, first of all, I feel like everyone watches, like, Gremlins when they're a kid, and they either get, like, freaked out, or they don't fully know what's happening in the movie. And then they watch it later on, and they're like, oh, why did I watch this as a child? Okay.
Yeah. That's really accurate.
That was really my way of going about finding Gremlins.
Yeah, this is one that I watched when I was a younger one, and I think my mom told my sister and I about it, like, I think that she already had it, or something like that, and it was one night, I think after my swim lessons, I want to say, that my mom was like, you're gonna watch Gremlins, and I was like, oh, I don't know about this seems scary. But watching Gremlins again, it's a real slow burn. It's a real slow work up to the scary bits, so I think that did a good job of kind of lulling me into this, like, okay, this isn't that bad. But then a woman microwaves a little monster, and it explodes everywhere. She also puts one into a blender, and I was just sort of like, oh, well, here we go, here we are.
Betty Crocker is quaking with that scene.
I'm so bummed you haven't seen Gremlins 2, because I think you would enjoy it. I was gonna make a reference to Gremlins 2, because there's like a joke about this cooking channel, and this woman makes like, I want to say like all microwaved food. Like, she shows you how to cook things in the microwave. It's the same vibe, where it's just like, oh, ew.
Vibe. Gross.
But anyway, let's talk a little bit about the
season.
Just snuggle up with your microwaved ham.
Ew. Alrighty.
This is America, man. But yes, let's talk a little bit about the plot. It's pretty simple. She's a simple one.
Yeah, not a super complicated movie. Just kind of like, hey, look at these little things. Aren't they weird?
Yeah, I realized that it's really similar to Killer Clowns, where like, there's not much of it, but the thing everybody remembers is like the main creatures wreaking havoc.
It's really just like a compilation of these little things going nuts, and then the movie's over when they're defeated.
And it's over. But yes, it stars Billy Peltzer, who's your average teenager watching this again. I want to talk about this later, but I feel like he was supposed to be a lot younger, but
yeah, homie worked at a bank. Homie wasn't going to school. He just worked at a bank and didn't have a car. Like,
it was the 80s, or like 50s, 80s. This movie has like a very 50s kind of vibe.
Can't tell when it's set, but either way, entertaining.
Yeah, not important. And then there's, I forget the girl's actual name, because I think Phoebe Cates is the name of the actress.
Oh yeah, I always just refer to her as Phoebe Cates. I think her character's name is Kate, though.
That's confusing.
Yeah, real confusing.
Yeah!
Because I'm like, oh yeah, Phoebe Cates! And it's like, oh, hey Kate! I'm like, wait a minute. Are they just... No.
It's a world of difference. She doesn't have the S at the end.
World of difference, only the S is missing. The Phoebe part has been removed.
No Phoebe at all. But yes, Kate is just real depressed at the holidays. I mean, that's not really important. We'll also talk about that later. It's not important to the plot anyway. But yeah, that's his kind of girlfriend, his little flirtation. Billy's dad gets him this thing from Chinatown called a Mogwai, and the Mogwai are kind of these like little like, I'm trying to think of a way to describe them. They're like Baby Yoda with hair, and you got three rules. You don't put it in sunlight, because I'll kill it, and it doesn't like bright light. You don't put it in water, and except they can walk in snow and drink beer. And, you know.
Don't feed and it then after you don't midnight bit.
Yeah. So, of course, Billy does all these things, and, we find out that the gremlins multiply with water, or the Mogwai, they multiply with water, and then they kind of, and then if you feed them after midnight, they turn into these like little green scaly monster things, and they run amok, and Billy's gotta stop them along with Kate, and you get to hear the reason why she hates Christmas,
which and we can, dig into this later. That's a weird whole scene that I could talk about for ages, because, oh my god.
It's wild. But we will talk about this later, but it does lead to one of the best bits in the second movie. Because I'm sorry, I'm going to be comparing it to the second movie a lot.
Go off.
I semi-recently saw the second movie, and the second movie just kind of goes off the rails. It's like, what's a plot? We're a comedy now. And I think it's to the film's benefit and to Gremlin's benefit too. Because going back to this, like I said earlier, it does take its time. Like, a good chunk of the first part of the movie is just like, walking around this town, meeting the people, talking about Mrs. Deagle and how mean she is. And then, yeah, like, at the halfway point, we get the gremlins actually kind of appear. And then, at the 45-minute, maybe, we really get the gremlins running amok.
It's a slow burn movie.
Yeah. And I think, and it works for establishing it, and it works for kind of, you know, it's a very Steven Spielberg type beginning part. So it works in that regard. However, it's really interesting for what it's been kind of remembered for. And in the next bit, we'll talk about what it's remembered for, coming up on Cinema Cemetery.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Hey, think twice before you litter. Even a small piece of trash can endanger the beautiful animals in our communities. So don't litter. Take responsibility and help the environment. Help save some animals and keep the world clean. It only takes a few seconds to find the trash can and throw away that candy wrapper. So be a role model and don't litter. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California.
And welcome back. So, Denali, what were the worst elements of the movie in your opinion?
Worst elements of the movie? Not to bully Phoebe Cates here, but I did not like her character.
Yeah.
Like, some of the acting leaves something to be desired, but also it's like an 80s goofy kind of not quite scary movie themed around Christmas time, so I'm not gonna bash him too much for that one.
Mm-hmm.
But just certain aspects of the writing weirdly sent me. Like, why on earth was this movie opened and closed by a father who had nothing to do with the plot?
Yeah, he's like, this is my story. I'm in it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, he's there for like a little bit at the beginning. I don't even think he's there for the end of it. He just kind of leaves. And he's like, well, yeah, that was my story. Was it, dude? Was it your story?
Yeah. The dad sucked. I just gotta say that now.
I feel like all 80s movies dads leave something to be desired, but this one in particular, come on, man.
Yeah. No, I agree with you with the whole Kate subplot, or the whole Kate nonsense, because, we could talk a little bit. Let's talk about Kate's whole deal.
Her whole deal? Her whole thing?
Yeah. Her whole thing is she's all like, Christmas sucks. I hate Christmas. Everybody's depressed around Christmas. And so like a good, like more than halfway through the movie, like I want to say like at the 45 minutes around-ish, she starts this monologue by saying, great, another reason to hate Christmas. And she starts talking about when she was like 10, how her dad went missing for a period of time, and her and her mom were like, oh, dad's missing, well, like call the police or whatever. And one night she lights the fire and she smells the smell, and they call the fire department over to get whatever the smelly smell in the chimney was, and it was her father dressed as Santa Claus who got stuck in the chimney.
Oh.
What? The fact that this like comes in like the last bit, the fact that like they felt the need to add this, like why is, if you took it out of the movie, if you took Kate out of the movie too, like nothing would change. It's like, why?
It's the same movie without her, but specifically the fact that they threw in such a strange and weirdly gruesome, like, story element just to her for seemingly no reason.
You know, like, after describing it, it feels like something from a Goosebumps.
Oh yeah, that sounds like the plot of a Goosebumps book.
Yeah, or like a Fear Street, like, you know, like that feels like something that R.L. Stein would come up with and like jab that into somewhere.
Yeah, that'd be like a, ooh, isn't that creepy, kids? And or it's either that or like it feels like that should be the plot of the movie, of just like her working through whatever that is, but they just bring it up and never mention it again.
Yeah, they're like, by the way,
by the way, this is her deal. Anyway.
No, but it does lead to one of my favorite gags in the second movie. I wish there was a clip of it online. I can't find anything, but they spoof that and they like make it that she's also traumatized by President's Day.
Oh my god. And
it was great. Worst performance. Oh, wait. I want to bring up another thing that I thought was wild, if that's all right.
Oh, absolutely.
The fact, like, how set up Miss Deagle was, and then, once again, that was something that just felt like it was dropped.
Oh, for zero payoff. It felt like...
Yeah.
I was expecting, like a Wizard of Oz thing, where, like, she turns into the villain somehow. How it's like, oh, this old lady's gonna take my dog. Now she's the Wicked Witch. Like, I was expecting that kind of thing. I'm like, oh, okay, this lady's gonna have something to do with the gremlins. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Yeah, that would make sense.
They just throw it out. They're like, oh, this old lady who we've been conditioning you to not like the whole movie? Eh. Never mind.
Like, there is the tiniest bit of payoff in that you get to see the gremlins kill her. But I mean, at the same time, like, when I was little, I didn't even realize it was the same person because she, doesn't have her makeup or her wig on or anything. So, like, when I was just like, oh, haha, a bitter old lady gets killed. Because, like, in the scene where she gets killed by the gremlins, they set her up to be this kind of bitter old lady, too. Like, she's all, like, Christmas carolers. Like, God, those little glue sniffers. So, like, I feel like that's all you need if that's the joke you want to make.
Yeah, you didn't need to set her up to be such a villain with the first half, only to just kill her as a goof.
Yeah, like, the first 15 minutes, like, you just keep on hearing about Mrs. Deagle. And, like, there's this whole thing where she's all like, oh, I'm gonna get your dog, Billy Peltzer. And, like, they kind of have her as a red herring, like, because the dog ends up tangled up in the Christmas lights. And Billy's like, oh, I bet this is Mrs. Deagle. But I'm like, I feel like it's pretty obvious that it's not.
Yeah, like a dog is tangled in some lights. That's not the old lady, dude. Come on.
Yeah, I don't think that woman could lift that dog. Like, it's not a huge dog, but it's a pretty medium-sized dog.
Yeah, like, it's an old lady, man. Come on.
Like, and I don't think she'd be that creative either. Yeah, like, it's really not something where it's like some bullies that are, like, really weirdly sadistic. Like, that would make sense if those were the kids who, like, tangled your dogs up in lights. But an old lady who's just like, meh.
Just a grumpy old lady? She wouldn't do that. Come on, man.
Yeah. But yes, real quick, worst performance.
Worst performance. Oh, they're all so bad. I already dunked on Phoebe Cates a little bit, so I'll give her a break with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I gotta bully the dad. Cause, like...
Yeah.
He was there, and he just kind of... Hearing his voice at all was just... It didn't mesh well. Also, Corey Feldman was in this movie, like, a little, I guess. He was in the beginning, and I'm like, I don't remember anything else from Corey Feldman of that movie. He was just kind of there.
Yeah, I wish Corey Feldman was in it more, because I feel like he actually does a pretty good job.
Corey Feldman. I guess 80s Corey Feldman really, like, knew what was happening. He was like, yeah, let me just make this movie better.
Yeah! Like, there's a scene where he's interacting with Gizmo, and it's, you know, Gizmo's an animatronic, but it feels very natural. It feels very much like he's interacting with an actual animal.
Yeah.
Yeah, worst performance, Dad. Most outrageous scene, if you've got just one.
Oh, good lord. All the scenes that I'm thinking of are just Phoebe Cates' character. For some reason, my brain sticks to her for, like, most of the movie. I'm like, what is she doing?
Yeah, who are you? What are you? No, that was, She was kind of my favorite thing to riff off after her whole, like, Great. Another reason to hate Christmas. Like when she's trying to look for the lights on the circuit breaker, just like, great. Another reason to hate circuit breakers.
Oh, exactly. Like, oh my god. Also, you mentioned the circuit breakers. How does she manage to turn on a fountain? Which I feel like is a not very intuitive task. She turns on a fountain, which is water, the one thing that gremlins love, but not turn on a light, which is the most intuitive task. Come on, girl. Like, every scene she's in, I just find myself going, girl, come on. What are you doing?
Yeah. And when we return, we'll have our current event story at the top of the hour. I forgot to say that at the beginning of the show. So we'll have that when we return on Cinema Cemetery.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Every year, millions of Americans get into car accidents because they're too obsessed with their phones. Do you really need to comment, oh my gosh, so cute, on the picture of Kelly's dog while you're driving in the middle of a highway? If it's absolutely necessary to use your phone, pull over. Distracted driving is dangerous driving, so don't be that person. Put the phone down. It can wait. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California.
Welcome back. So now we've got that current event story. So I just mostly want to talk about this. The new Tom and Jerry movie. Denali, are you familiar?
I have seen clips of the trailer. I absolutely adore Tom and Jerry. Hell yes.
Yeah. So I got feelings. So for those who haven't seen it, Tom and Jerry and all the animals in it are animated in this 3D, like, very similar to their original cartoon style. And this might be a controversial opinion, but I actually really like that. I like how they're not, like, trying to make them look super realistic, like the Garfield movie or, like, Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh my god, I can't stand when movies do that. They go, like, hyper-realistic on talking animal movies. It's like, come on. Yeah. What you doing that for?
It's so gross. And then also, I think it is smart because, like, A, you don't have to hire actual animals, and then B, not making the animals hyper-realistic. Like, they won't look real if they are hyper-realistic. So yeah. I like how they're just like, yeah, every animal's a cartoon.
Yeah, they all just look like this. It's fine.
Yeah, I really like that. However, in the trailer, there were, like, I want to say, like, 4 or 5 pop culture references, and I'm like, oh no. Oh no.
Just a big ol' uh-oh, that's not gonna age well.
No, it already hasn't aged well. There's, like, a Tim Burton Batman joke. What kid is gonna be like, oh yes, the Tim Burton Batman movies. I remember those. Like, there's, like, some pigeons singing Lizzo, and there's, like, a Rihanna reference. And I'm just like, oh no. Oh no, I was gonna give you guys so much credit for being smart, but not anymore.
Yeah. Whenever movies do that, I always just go, uh-oh. I'm not gonna like this in a few years.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hope it's good. Like, there are things that I do think are smart about it. It seems like it's not gonna have too much of a plot, which I think is really smart. But anyway, cross our fingers, let's see.
Hopefully it ends up well.
I think we kind of talked about this already, or it's very implied. What would you change about the movie?
What would I change about it? Honestly, if I had to, like, dig in, I would go straight for, like, just the writing. Because there's so much, like, about the base structure of the story that, like, doesn't track and doesn't make sense, where I'm like, you could have reworked this a little better. Like, maybe go back to the drawing board for plot.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to, like, the visuals of the movie, I really have very few complaints. I'm always a sucker for practical effects. Always, like, adore, like, just, like, the 80s style of filming. I love that kind of stuff. But it's just, like, the story and the acting, just the writing is really what, like, kind of made me not quite as enthused about it.
Yeah. I think the big things that we pointed out, like, the focus on Mrs. Deagle and the weird Phoebe Cates thing with her dad and Christmas and everything, it feels so odd.
It's so weird. Like, it doesn't need to be there.
It really doesn't. Like, yeah, and I get why the first film is like this, but after watching the second film, I'm like, man, like, I kind of wish that they had just had a little bit more fun with it, but, like, I get why they had to kind of set everything up and be a little bit more serious in this film. Get a little bit more Spielberg-y with it.
Spielberg-y.
What were some of your favorite quotes?
Honestly, again, going back to Phoebe Cates, when she just goes like, and that's when I learned there was no Santa Claus. Like, girl, you're talking about your dad dying. You're gonna try to be cute with it? Come on. Hoping to get a laugh? What's the deal?
She's working on her stand-up routine.
She's working on her dead dad stand-up material. Like, girl, come on.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I liked, so there's a scene when the gremlins go into a theater, and it's showing Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. That was kind of my pick for most outrageous scene, because I was like, Disney would never nowadays.
Oh, exactly.
And, Kate, Gizmo, who's, like, the good Mogwai that stays with Billy, and Billy are, they're kind of peeking in on the gremlins, because they're, like, trying to formulate a plan to get rid of all of them, and all the gremlins are singing along with Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and Kate's all like, what are they doing in there? And Billy says, they're watching Snow White, and they love it.
And they love it. Oh my god. I honestly forgot about that scene.
It's one of my favorites. Like, and I wish this was an actual quote, or this was something I could add, but the gremlin with the hand puppets in the bar is
yes!
my favorite.
Love that little dude.
He's so cute. Just the best part of the movie. If you need to see anything from this movie, like, I'm gonna kind of say the same thing that I did with Killer Clowns. Like, if you want kind of the essence of the movie, listen to the theme and just watch the clips of the gremlins going buck wild. And I think that's about all you need.
Because that's really the best part.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part of the Gremlins movies that you remember.
Mm-hmm. Best bad performance.
Best bad performance? Corey Feldman. He was in it for, like, a few minutes, and he just kind of, like, was there having a great time, and then he was done. And really, way to go, Corey Feldman. Best bad performance. You're doing great, bud.
Snaps for Corey Feldman. I put Mrs. Deagle just because, like, I feel like everybody's a certain sense of grounded, but then she just comes in like, yeah, like Wicked Witch from Wizard of Oz, just like, if you
if you don't get your dog out of my yard, I'm gonna put him in the spin cycle of my washing machine. And then,
she's just verbally abusing this dog for no reason and then dies. I love her.
But then the best part of that scene, too, is, like, there's a guy standing right next to her, and he's just like, well, that'll do it. And it's like, why are you complicit in this dog murder, man?
He's just like, alright. I mean, hey, what am I gonna do? Stop her? Nah.
Yeah. Why would I do that? And I did want to shout out Dick Miller, just because, you know, he's kind of well known in the B-movie community. He's sort of a B-movie star. He always plays, like, these weird side characters, usually drunkards, and I gotta shout out Dick Miller.
King. Way to go.
Way to go, sir. He was the kind of xenophobic guy who was all like, in World War II, the gremlins, they mess up your planes. These Japanese cars, they put the gremlins in there.
Oh my god.
You know, like, and this whole movie has kind of an icky vibe when it comes to portraying other races, if I can just say.
Yes, a lot of 80s movies tend to do that, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it's got some of that, like, mysticism around Asian cultures. But, you know, not great. We don't love to see it.
Not great. You hate to see it. Bad job.
Yeah. And when we return on Cinema Cemetery, we'll be talking about our favorite performances and some of the best aspects of the movie. When we return.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio. It only takes 3 seconds to put on your seatbelt every time you get into a car, and it just might save your life. Car accidents are unavoidable because they are, in fact, accidents. But the choice you make to put on your seatbelt every time you get in the car can change the outcome of a potential accident. Make sure you and your loved ones buckle up every time and help save lives.
And welcome back. Best good performance. I was gonna say the dog. Watching it again, the dog was the real star of the show.
Period. That dog was doing great the whole time.
Like, the dog just reacted so naturally to everything. I like how the dog played off the animatronics and the special effects. Like, there's a good portion of the movie where the dog isn't in it, and you really feel that dog is missing. But there's, like, one of my favorite bits is when they're hanging out with all the gremlins when they're still all cute, and they're just kind of, you know, they're just kind of being little pests. And, like, the dad says something, and, like, the dog and the gremlin, like, both, like, look up at the same time. It was adorable. It was darling. Best scene in the movie. And then, like, when the dog is looking at the bubbling pile of gremlin flesh, it is just like, ew. That's gross.
I love that dog.
All right, sorry, I just had to get that in there. Go on.
Honestly, this might sound stupid, but the animatronics of the gremlins, that's the best good performance.
That's fair. That's real fair.
I'm always a sucker for, like, good puppeteering of practical effects and, like, good animatronics of, like, practical effects. It's always so cool to me.
Yeah.
I always just end up impressed by that. Anytime it's in a movie, I'm like, yes, it looks so cool and looks so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the animatronics were really great in this one. I also wanted to shout out to Corey Feldman, because I do, like, I appreciate Corey Feldman. 'Tis a real shame about, you know, his life, but
yeah,
you know,
it's like, you were great in movies, bud. Sorry about the rest of it.
Yeah. I also wanted to shout out Billy Peltzer's mom, because I feel like she has, like, a really good expressive face. And Like, she doesn't do that much, but what she does do, she does very well. Like,
yes.
Because there's the iconic scene where Mom is just killing these gremlins in the kitchen, and the way that she, like, goes up the stairs at first, and she's, like, looking around, and then she hears something in the kitchen. Like, that whole scene, I'm like, mwah. That's great.
Incredible. Way to go, Billy's mom.
She deserves an Oscar.
There's a Stacy's mom joke in there somewhere.
We'll
I'm too lazy to find it, but there is a Stacy's mom joke in there.
Billy's mom.
It's somewhere.
Has got it on. She's my best favorite actor in the movie. And it's really long. Best aspects of the movie. I think you kind of touched on it a little bit with the animatronics.
Animatronics. Mm-hmm. Practical effects. Mm-hmm. My favorite part.
Yeah, these are some really great 80s effects.
Like they're up there in favorites with like Jurassic Park, where it just seems really cool, and I'm like, I end up not wanting to look away. I'm like, this is very good. Very fun. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just makes so much of a difference when something's actually there and you, like, see it interacting with stuff. I gotta say, a lot of the background gags were pretty good. Rewatching it again, I saw, like, a lot of the, like, little background jokes that they had, like when the dad was at the invention fair, they have like the time machine in one shot, and then when they go back to the invention fair, the time machine is gone, and like everyone's like, what happened to the time machine?
Where'd it go?
Like the heart film being projected, like in that first scene where we kind of see how the gremlins look after they mutate, like how it's just like the human heart beats in matter of amounts per second and like makes this much blood. It's like, oh no.
Uh-oh.
You already touched on the animatronics, and then I think they did a really good job of making Gizmo cute but not annoying.
Yes, honestly, that.
Yeah. Because there are, like, times where they get dangerously close to him being annoying, but they don't go there. And I'm like, you know what? Good on you guys. You know when to stop.
Like, they know how to be like, all right, we're not gonna beat this dead horse too much.
Yeah. Like, because, you know, especially with his voice, too, it would be easy for him to get kind of annoying. But they did a really good job of keeping him, like, you know, keeping him cute, knowing how much to use him. So, would you recommend this film, and to whom?
I would, only in like the sense of like, it's one of those movies where it's like, alright, you have to watch it when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very similar to Coraline to me in that way, where it's just like, you gotta watch it when you're young and then watch it again when you're older. That way you can just, like, have the experience of watching it, you know?
Yeah. I would definitely recommend this to some young kids. I babysat for this one girl for a while, and I was like, she would like this, because she was really into Coraline. She's really into, like, the really dark stuff, and I'm like, you know, you'd probably like this. You're not gonna listen to me now. But you would like this.
She's like, look, you are gonna like it. Just watch it. Even if you don't like it while you're watching it, you'll like it when it's over.
Yeah. Like, you just need to get to the part with the gremlins in the bar and the one gremlin with the hand puppets. Like, that's the pinnacle. But yeah, I think you really put it well. And while we still got some time, I would like to pitch Gremlins 3!
Yes! Gremlins 3!
So, I've actually been thinking about this for a while. Because, you know, a lot of remakes, a lot of sequels have been coming out lately, and it's something that Red Letter Media talks about a lot, is Gremlins 3. Their pitch is to have Gremlins in the White House, but my pitch... So somebody has found a Mogwai and has started mass breeding them. They've, like, changed the genetics so that you can't, like, make them reproduce asexually. So it's like, we have this one supply of gremlins. And, like, the main characters at first are like, oh, well, we can't let these people buy the Mogwais because, you know, they're gonna go crazy. But when they see the Mogwais, they've, like, reproduced them to the point where they're soulless. And then the Mogwai represent properties in Hollywood and how Hollywood reproduces stuff till it's soulless and personalityless. So it becomes like we have to get the Mogwais mostly because this is unethical. At the same time, like, there's somebody else who's like working at the pet shop all like, I'm gonna get some Mogwai and sell it on the black market and like make bank off of it. So, like, there's one night where the main characters who were trying to get the Mogwai sneak into the pet shop to try to get the Mogwai, I don't know, movie logic, to try to, like, take the Mogwai to their house for things. A Mogwai sanctuary. And person who works at the pet shop is all like, frick, there's some people here already. And that person leaves the pet shop, but uh-oh. Gizmo, who is owned by main characters, I don't know who the main characters are, it's probably like Billy Pelser's kids, but Gizmo adorably stuck into the kids' backpack and is now outside, and a pet shop person steals Gizmo, reproduces Gizmo, and now the conflict is like, oh, there are gremlins, and people want to get the gremlins, but some of the gremlins are the authentic gremlins who are going to go freaking nuts on this, on America. So bang, that's Gremlins 3, everybody.
That would be so entertaining to watch.
That's my idea. I just wanted to get it out and before people are like, that was bad, and I'm like, no, I got an idea. It could be good.
It's like, wait, consider the following, though.
Well, thank you so much for being on, Denali.
Of course. Anytime, dude.
I'm glad it was fun. And I guess I should make this announcement now. Since this was a part of my class, this is going to be kind of the last episode of Cinema Cemetery in this format. I have no clue if I'm going to continue it. It's been a lot with my other classes, so probably not as frequently if I do keep doing it, but if I do. But follow us on Instagram, cinema.cemetery, and I'll post any updates there. And with that, we'll be putting Gremlins back in its hollowed crypt. We're putting it back to rest again. Theme song was by Ditto Master. And if you ever again feel the desire to return to this holy ground, you can find us at penguinradio.com. A goodbye. Woo! Woo! Goodbye, maybe forever. I don't know. We'll see. Woo!